There is no stronghold in your life that I cannot help you overcome. But you must want to overcome it more than you entertain it. Until you truly desire that you want the strongholds in your life purged, there is very little that I can do for you. I will convict you. I will show you what needs to be changed. I will even speak through others to help you see what it is that I'm seeing in your life. But until you make the decision that you want the strongholds removed, there is very, very little that I can do. One of the greatest problems that I see in my children is that they become accustomed to the strongholds and associate them too often with their personality or how they were raised. But remember, I've said in my word that I want you to conform to the image of my Son. Therefore, nothing about your past, how you were raised, or your personality, nothing, I say, is impossible to change in order for you to become like my Son. So you must make the decision that you truly want to change. And those things in you that need to change, they can change. They can change. But it starts with you. And then I will begin to help you. I will add my strength and my anointing to your decision to enable and empower you to make all the changes necessary. So again, I say to you, there is no stronghold in your life that cannot be changed or removed, says the Lord. Here the other day, I'm just sitting and I don't even remember for sure what I was praying about, but I got one of those, I don't know what you would call it, one of those sit back, scratch your head and think on this one moments. And the Lord, let me just kind of put it in my own words. He said, you know how you go to school. You start out kindergarten, first grade. Then you go all the way up to 12th grade. Then you graduate from high school. He said, you know how each year in school, they teach you things. You know, first grade, you're learning to see, spot, run. And you begin learning how to make the letters in cursive as, you know, each year progresses. All these different things happen. And then finally, hopefully, you've retained enough information, you passed enough courses, blah, 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 you graduate from high school. He said, you remember what all you had to do in school? And how that there were times you had homework, and you had to study, prepare for the tests, all these things. I said, yeah, yeah. He said, all right, let me ask you this. If you had approached the study of your schoolwork the way you approached the study of my word, would you have ever graduated? Look at the poker faces out here now. Glory to God. That hits home, doesn't it? That hits home. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be doing this, right? You understand what I mean? And so I just kind of sat back and I really started thinking about all of that for myself. And then I also started thinking about it relative to, you know, Christians. You know, for yourself, just think about this. If you, and I don't know everything you're doing, but if you approach the study of God's Word, or if you had approached your schoolwork the same way that you approach the study of God's Word, would you have ever graduated? Would we have even made it to sixth grade? And that is a challenge. And I'm thinking about that. And about why do we so often have kind of a lax approach to this? And I can remember, for me, when I was in school, I really didn't do very well. And it wasn't simply because I couldn't. I just really didn't apply myself. And my mom and dad, they didn't put enough loving pressure on me to do my schoolwork. They wanted me to do well. They didn't want me to fail anything. But if I came home with C's, you know, that was okay. Because at least I was doing something. So I learned from that to coast. They should have pushed me harder. But they didn't. And so I learned to coast. And I based my approach to the tests pretty much and very often on just what I had heard in the classroom. I kid you not when I tell you there were times I flat out did not open my textbooks. I went only on what I heard, and I made C's. So if I had buckled down, you know what I mean, and really applied myself, I probably could have done really well. But I didn't. You can't go back and change it. Well, thinking of it like that, I know for myself, before I became a pastor, I did not put forth as much diligence to study the Word of God like I should have. And really, let me back up. Before I recognized or acknowledged God's call on my life to ministry, I really did not put forth much effort to study the Word of God. Now, what I did, every time the doors were open in church, man, Kathy and I, you know, we showed up, we were there. Tried very hard not to miss any services whatsoever. And I read books. I read a lot of the books and the magazines by a lot of the preachers that we became familiar with through that church we were attending. And so what I did was rest on what I heard from the pulpit. And when I went to church, I took my Bible. I mean, a lot of Christians don't, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody here, but I took my Bible. And when they said turn to, I turned. And I read. I did that. But beyond that, my spiritual life was pretty much lived on my church service experiences and the books that I read by the preachers I liked, or if somebody said, well, you need to read this book. And I'd never heard of the person that wrote the book, but the person giving me the book, I knew them, trusted them, well, then I'd read the book. But that's pretty much how I lived my Christian life. And the thing that, I mean, I can look back now over the years and I see what was going on. I thought that I was further along in God than what I really was because of what I experienced and heard in the church services and the books I read away from and the magazines and the sermons that I listened to, you know, cassette tapes. Remember those way back when? Would listen to the tapes. Not all the time, but, you know, sometimes. And I thought that I was a whole lot further along in God than what I really was. Well, what I was really doing was coasting. It was really no different than what I did growing up in school. My mom and dad should have pushed me harder. And if they had of, I know they would have done it the right way, because I had good parents. But our Heavenly Father, He doesn't push. Our Heavenly Father will encourage. He'll convict. Conviction is different from condemnation. Now, you know that. He'll convict. He'll drop hints. But until we push ourselves, what's going to change? And I know for me that once I acknowledged the call of God upon my life, I became more serious about studying the Word of God. And I enjoyed it. It was fun. Silly thing is, I could have been having fun the whole time before I figured out what God had called me to do. I could have been doing that. Because see, when I figured out what God had called me to do as far as ministry is concerned, my first understanding was, I'm called to preach, whatever that meant. You know, as I'm called to stand up and declare. I didn't fully understand that I was called to pastor, but I at least knew I was called to pulpit ministry, however you want to refer to it. And once I understood that, then I began giving more diligence to studying the Bible. Well, that just seems to go without saying. Think about this. Think about our perception. Somebody says, you know what? I'm called to be a pastor. It's like, oh, wow, well, that's great. Praise God. Then all of a sudden, our expectations or assumptions of that person change. Now, in our minds, we think, well, he's going to be studying the Bible a whole lot more. He'll probably go to seminary or, some kind of Bible college or something like that because he's called to preach. If I were called to preach, I'd do the same thing. Well, my question is this. What if you're not called to preach? Will you still not study the Word? And again, this isn't meant to make anybody feel guilty. I'm trying to help you see how that it's like we have been lulled into this complacency, and we haven't recognized it happened, because it happened to me. That's the way it was for me too. And I look back over the years at the people that I knew. We weren't bad people. We weren't sinning or anything like that. I mean, just like you. But we didn't pursue developing ourselves. We lived on what we heard in the church services and maybe the sermons we listened to, away from church on somebody's, the tape set away in the people's book. And the reason I know this is true is because people would talk about it. Oh, you ought to read this book. Great book. You ought to listen to this series. Great series and so forth. And that's okay. But what I know now, as a result of digging into the Word of God and spending time in fellowship with Him, I see how that so many people are coasting. They're not bad people. They're not in sin. But there's no real diligence, I guess you could say. But I'll tell you what, as soon as you figure it out, the moment that you know that God has called you to minister His Word, that will change. And you will begin giving more diligence to the Word of God. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. And as I'm thinking about that, the Lord began reminding me, helping me to remember some passages of Scripture. And I want you to see these. And we're going to start in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And what we're going to be doing in this service this morning is something that is very different and very not at all common to what we do on Sunday mornings, for sure. And the reason Sunday morning instead of a Wednesday night or a Sunday night is because my assumption is more people will be here on Sunday morning. But in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, I understand that some folks would say, well, yes, but you know what? We're New Testament, and that's an Old Testament verse. I agree with you. But the principle of this verse is going to be the same Old Testament or New Testament. So instead of it saying, you know, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, let's rephrase it for the New Testament church, just for the sake of teaching. This book of grace shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night, and so on and so forth. See that? The principle is still the same. It's still the same. And so here we see an instruction that takes us past our service times. It takes us past our times that we get together like this. Now, look at another place, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Take a look here in beginning in verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So what we are seeing is an emphasis here in these two verses, an emphasis on the Word, but again, it is away from what you would call a church service. So not only am I supposed to meditate in the Word, but also he's saying you need to be doing this with your children as well. All right, let's look at another place. Turn to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. Now, so far, what we've seen is an instruction that I'm supposed to meditate in the Word, and I'm supposed to be doing it every day. And I'm going to admit to you that there have been days where I've not done this for myself, because the battles I fight for time are no different than yours. It's just the circumstances are different. But it's still a battle. It's still a war. And I'm also supposed to be doing this with my children. Now, in order for that to happen, what I have to do is create an atmosphere. I have to create a situation wherein this can be done. I have to create a way that I can study and meditate and do this with my children as well. Let me just give you an example that maybe will help clarify. I turn the television off in spite of the protests of my children. I gather them together and I spend word time with them. Not just mommy, daddy time, but I spend word time with them. Now, this is a mistake that I made as a parent. I didn't understand things the way I should have understood them at that time. But I spend word time with them, which doubles as mommy, daddy time as well, obviously. Well, in Matthew chapter 27, look what Jesus is saying here. Pick it up in Matthew 28, I apologize. Pick it up in verse 18. This is after Jesus is raised from the dead. He's meeting with the apostles before his ascension back into heaven. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So what we see here is not just an instruction to preach the gospel, to lead people to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But it's also an instruction to instruct the people, to make them disciples, to not just get them saved and leave them, but to also do something to help educate them in this born-again life. Well, you know, as I was raised, we had Sunday school and so on and so forth. And on Sunday nights, we had what we called training union, which was like Sunday school at night. Then on Wednesday night, we had classes as well. So that was a variation on this theme. Let's look at another place. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and a bunch of you already know what verse we're going to look at. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So now, I have an additional instruction that I'm to study to show myself approved unto God. That means that this whole effort, that everything that I do relative to my studying of the Word of God, everything that I'm doing here in this, is to be approved unto Him. Now, that means I may not always be approved unto men, but I am to be approved unto man. In so many churches and denominations, and they don't really mean it this way, but it's a byproduct. They're teaching you to study to be approved unto them. Well, that's not how we see this passage. This is how we see this passage. Well, okay, what about, you know, the parts in there where it talks about, you know, speaking in tongues? Well, we don't even read those. You know, those don't know. See what I'm getting at? The Bible says, well, if you look in chapter 3, in verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness." Why is that? "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished," or in other words, spiritually equipped, "unto all good works." So I'm supposed to study to show myself approved unto God so that I can, you know, be chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, if you will. That means my approach has to be centered on God's Word, not preacher words. You follow what I'm getting at? In other words, if I'm not doing what I've read so far in Scripture, then I'm coasting on the words of the preachers and the books and the magazines. I'm assuming that everything they tell me is right. And let's just say everything they tell me is right for the sake of this teaching. Let's just say that they are all correct. Okay, praise God for that. However, that does not mean that I'm doing 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'm not studying to show myself approved unto God. Now, I'm doing good things and right things and things that I should be doing. Things that God would encourage me to do. Yes, you need to, you know, feed in these other areas as well. However, there's more that you really need to focus on. Look at another place. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, in order for me to study to show myself approved unto God, once again, that means that I am going to have to create a way that this can happen. I'm going to have to manipulate my situation, my life, my conditions, so that I can study to show myself approved unto God. In Acts chapter 2, it was the day of Pentecost, and Peter has preached his message. Thousands of people got saved. Now, pick it up in verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And if you look in verse 46, it says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." In other words, what happened was these people got saved, but along with that, conditions were brought into existence that made it conducive for these people to do everything they could to grow in the Lord. Now, at the time, they had to rely on the apostles because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. However, we know that the apostles gave them truth, and we have the result of that in the New Testament. And they carried on teaching the people what Jesus had taught them. So the people altered what was necessary of their own lives, whatever that meant, so that they could accommodate their own spiritual growth and development. We'll look at another place, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And we're jumping toward the end of this, okay? But it says, "And when they," plural, all these people, "had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Now you notice the emphasis here is that they had gathered together to pray. It wasn't simply to receive more teaching, but they had gathered together to pray for a spiritual encounter with the Lord, if you want to look at it like that. But they had gathered together. In other words, somebody had done something to create circumstances so that the people could come together for this purpose. Something that would lead to their spiritual growth and their spiritual development. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to look at two verses here. In verse 24, it says, "And let us," plural, "consider one another," plural, "to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So we're seeing something had to be done to facilitate the people being able to come together and to receive teaching and to receive ministry and to pray and to worship and so on and so forth. In other words, the goal was for the people to develop spiritually. In order for that to happen, the apostles and whoever, they had to do something to make it possible for the people to do this. Now, whether they did it or not was totally up to them. But they had to have that opportunity. And as I'm, you know, the Lord's dealing with me about all this, and one of the roles of the local church, any local church, one of the responsibilities is to do what it can to facilitate the people of that congregation to have the opportunity to grow spiritually. There are a lot of churches, and I know this because of experience, there are a lot of churches that are very focused on a church service. Beyond that, there's not a whole lot of emphasis on facilitating the spiritual growth of the people. You know, you can stand up and say, "You need to read your Bible," and you should, and that's good. But beyond that, a lot of churches seem to fall short in this. As the Lord is showing me all of this, He's bringing to mind specifically this particular ministry. The question is, what is being done here to facilitate and accommodate the spiritual growth and development of the people who say that God has called them to this church? That includes everybody watching that believes that this is you know, your home church. You're out there in a remote place, wherever it is, and you're watching. You don't have a church there. So this is your home church. What is being done here in this ministry to facilitate and accommodate your spiritual growth and your spiritual development? Well, I'm thinking about that, and I came up with a list, which I shall now read to you. We have a Sunday morning service, of which you are all currently experiencing. We have a Sunday evening service. We have a Wednesday evening service. There is prayer time on Monday nights. Starts at 7. There are people who gather here on Tuesday nights for prayer. Starts at 7. This ministry offers you the opportunity to enroll in Grace Ministries Bible College. And the price is right. Because Grace Ministries Bible College is a 4-year curriculum. There is no tuition charged. There is no enrollment fee. There is no charge for textbooks. There is no charge for course materials. We emphasize to all students, we expect you to pray and seek God to find out from Him what He wants you to give in support of the school. But we're not going to be the ones to charge you. We let God do that. So Grace Ministries Bible College is available to you. We also have Laying the Foundations. Many of you have completed that, but we have that available. All of the sermons and all of the teaching series are available at no charge. So you can get the MP3 CDs and so forth of the regular services, of the entire teaching series. It's all available at no charge whatsoever. And how many of you remember the discipleship program? Remember that? You know, the program you didn't finish? Do you remember what I shared with you that the Lord shared with me about the discipleship program? And how that part of the goal of that program was to help people see where they were walking with God. How that you were given the opportunity, you were given assignments and so forth, but you had plenty of time to complete the assignments. And the first assignment was given, and some got her done. Some didn't. Well, then the second assignment was given. Some got her done. More didn't. And it got to the point to where, yes, we want more of the discipleship program. I'm not going to do it, but we want more of the discipleship program. And your heart was right. Your intentions were right. Because you really wanted to do it. But you didn't. All right, now we go through here and everybody give reasons why they didn't. All right, well, not after the reasons. The point I'm making is, it was something that was made available to facilitate and accommodate your spiritual growth. So, just to recap real quickly. We have Sunday morning service. We have Sunday evening service. We have Wednesday evening service. Folks are here Monday night for prayer. Folks are here Tuesday night for prayer. We have Grace Ministries Bible College. We have Laying the Foundations. All the sermons in the teaching series are available at no charge whatsoever. And then we have the discipleship program. All that was available here. Okay, the question then comes up. What are we missing? What are we not doing? More specifically, I'm the pastor, so let's just lay it on me. What am I not doing? What am I missing? Because as I look at this list, I see a lot that is facilitating, or the intent of it, is to facilitate and accommodate the spiritual growth and development of the people here in this ministry, whether you're here locally or whether you're watching from wherever. I see a lot that's there. However, maybe there's something that's not on this list that should be on this list. Maybe there is something that you need that I don't know about. In spite of everything that's here, Maybe there's something else. I don't know. And that's why we're going to do this. Lee and Barry, I need some help, please. You're going to get a piece of paper. Oh, by the way, did you notice the sign when you walked in the door? Make sure you have a pen, but If you don't have a pen, borrow somebody's. Or if you want to scoot back to the table real quickly and pick one up behind the last pew, go ahead. Oh, wait, hand me one of those. Okay. Thank you. When you receive this piece of paper, at the top of it, it says, do not put your name on this paper. Now, what that means is this. Do not put your name on this paper. It's not a real, this isn't a test, okay? Underneath that, you'll see this. What would you like to see made available in this church that would facilitate your spiritual growth? Now, if you say, well, I sure wish we had Sunday night service. Oh, glory. Because we already have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday prayer, Tuesday prayer, the Bible college, laying the foundations. Everything that is recorded is available at no charge. And we have the discipleship program. Beyond that, don't put something on this piece of paper that already exists. Beyond what we have here, what would you like to see made available in this church that would facilitate your spiritual growth? Because, see, the apostles, they did what they could to facilitate the spiritual growth and development of the people. And there were other folks, because back in those days, until after 300 BC, or BC, AD, Christians could not have their own building for churches. And so, prior to that, they had to meet in buildings, or they would meet down by the river, whatever. Meet in somebody's house. So somebody had to say, yes, bring everybody to my house. Or yes, bring everybody to my barn. Or, everybody can come over and meet in my, living room, whatever. But somebody did what they could to facilitate and accommodate everybody else being able to grow and mature spiritually. What's missing? What's missing? Because, as I mentioned, one of the goals of a church is to facilitate and accommodate the spiritual growth and development of the people. If that's not being done, then the church is missing out on part of its responsibilities. Knowing everything that we have available, what else could be done? I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm serious. What else? Have you ever sat and think, boy, I wish we could do this. And this isn't about, let's have more fellowships where we have parties and so forth. I mean, that enhances the fellowship of the people. And I know that that can lead to encouragement as far as the spiritual growth and development is concerned. But we want to focus on studying to show yourself approved unto God. That's what we want to focus on. So therefore, what do you see, or what do you feel is missing? What are you not getting? What can you not find here that will facilitate your spiritual growth? Now, you understand that we can have all kinds of things, but until a person makes the decision to actually do and participate with whatever's available, nothing's going to happen. That's just like I use myself as the example. I just coasted. I lived on the sermons I heard and the books I read, but I never really studied to show myself approved unto God. So what can we do to facilitate that? See, some people find it very, very difficult to give time to God at home because they feel there are so many distractions. And that may be true. It all depends on your own personal home life. Okay? Well, then maybe helping you means that we give you access to this building so that you can come here and you can go into one of the rooms, or you can come up here in the sanctuary, you can go into one of the rooms downstairs and study to show yourself approved unto God. I don't know. But see, what I want for each of you is to become everything God wants you to become. I want you to not only... Well, in fact, this is one of the goals of the Bible College that I've shared with the students. One of the reasons for the existence of the Bible College is to help you discover God's call upon your life and then to help you become spiritually equipped to fulfill that call. Well, see, the same principle is true here as far as the church is concerned. And maybe you don't believe that you should, you know, do the Bible College. That's okay. Because God isn't going to lead everybody and tell them, say, well, you need to enroll in that. And I even tell people that, I said, don't do it just because you think you can or because, you know, you think it's a free school. You know, pray about this and get the leadership of God. Do what God wants you to do. The school's there for you. But it may not necessarily be the specific thing that God wants you to do right now, maybe later. I don't know. But what could we do here that will further accommodate and facilitate your spiritual growth and development? Now, I don't know what's going to be put down on the paper, but this does not mean that after you write these things down, that starting next week we're going to have all these different programs and so on. I won't do anything unless I pray about it. So, you know, if you write anything down, don't get offended if your idea is never implemented. All right? You know, Now, I really want you to think about this for yourself. Remember earlier how I shared that question that the Lord kind of posed to me. If you had approached your schoolwork the same way that you're approaching study to show yourself approved, would you have graduated? Now that's something I want you to think about for yourself. And I'm guessing that the answer for most of us would be nope. I wouldn't have graduated. Okay. Then let's go from there. What can we do now that will help change that? Now, I'm not coming over to your house every night and read the Bible to you at bedtime. All right? No. I'm not going to tuck you in and give you some hot chocolate. No. And remember, the goal here is the whole study to show yourself approved spiritual growth. All right? That's what we're after. And if indeed there is something that we can do here that will, I hesitate to use the phrase make it easier, because some people might interpret that as slacking off or something, and I don't mean it that way. But if there's something that we can do that can make it easier, that can facilitate it better, that can accommodate it better, if there's something that we can do and God says, yeah, you need to do this, we'll do it. We'll do it. Now, you need to understand it may necessitate help from some of you to implement some of the things that God might want to do. And it could be that whatever gets written down on the paper, God may say, you don't need to do any of these. I don't know. What I'm after is you. Because, and this is one of the reasons why I don't want your names on here. Once you put something down on paper, now, see, you've already written it down. It's kind of late now to change it. scribble. Give me another piece. Once you put it down on paper, that this would facilitate. Do you understand that what you're saying is, God, if this is made available to me, my life changes. You see that? So in other words, Pastor, are you tricking us? No, I'm not tricking you. I'm trapping you. No. The reality is, what if you do put something down on paper, the reality is, what you put down on paper may be exactly what you need right now. It may indeed be. And for those of you that are watching, same thing. What could we as a ministry do? Because everything I've shared here about what we have available, it is available to you. Now, I know the logistics are a little bit of a challenge because the time zones and everything else, you may not be able to watch us live, but you can watch all the services archived. But then as far as all of the teaching series and the non-sermon or non-series sermons, you know, all those are available at the website, and you can download those. And there's no charge for that. And if you prefer to have CDs or the MP3 CDs of the series, we can do that. And we don't charge you for it. So all of this that we have is available to you. Now, granted, the times that people gather here in this building for prayer, that's something you would have to do on your own. But beyond that, what could we as a ministry do to help you, wherever you are in the world, what could we do to facilitate your spiritual growth, to accommodate your studying to show yourself approved unto God? And if there's something that you'd like to share, send me an email. Now, the downside to that is I'll know who you are. But that's okay. And if you want to create an email account that has an anonymous name to it, you know, go ahead and do that. But this is open to those of you that are watching as well. And I'm very serious about this. Because in some cases I know that, well, let me say it like this. How many of you feel like you're where you ought to be with God? We're all going to say, not me. But for some folks, they're having a lot of challenges when it comes to their personal spiritual development, the whole study to show yourself approved concept. They're really challenged by this. Something's not working. Something's not happening. And maybe the bottom line is this. Your life is just, to a certain degree, out of order. You need to get your life back in order and, you know, put the reins on your time and take control over it. And if you put something here on this paper, say, I would rather have 28 hours a day instead of 24, that's not going to work. I'm sorry, we can't help you with that one. We have to take our 24 and do what we can with it. That's all I have. Take your pieces of paper and fold them up however many times you want. And again, don't put your name on it. But I am going to be calling the CSI people. We're going to dust for fingerprints. I will know who you... Joking. But that's all that the Lord wanted me to do today. Like I said, very different. However, I am concerned. I'm not, you know, worried, but I'm interested, an interest concern. I want you to be everything that God wants you to be. I want you to turn into God's image of you that He's had painted and hanging on His wall. This is how I see Kathy. This is how I see Barry. This is how I see Jerry. This is how I see, you know, just, you know, and people walk into his living room and they say, my goodness, who's that? It's, oh, it's Lee. Lee. He goes to Grace Christian Center. Wow, look at him. I want you to be that. I want you to be that. I want to see the change. In fact, I want to become my painting. Hallelujah. And every one of those paintings, you know what? They all resemble Jesus. Praise God. Well, go ahead and stand.